The Bird Show.
All right, Nicole here, our listener, needs help with a Tinder takedown. She's very, very nervous. There's some shady stuff going on in her relationship. And now you've got a dog that's in the mix. So the stakes are high. And she wants to know if her man is being honest online. Hey, Nicole.
Hi, guys. Hi.
Good morning. All right. So give us the history here and why you think that your man might be messing around and why you wanted us to check him on social media.
Okay. This is going to sound a little funny, but here it goes. Basically, even though we've only been together 4 months, we recently got a puppy together. So cute. And he's a rescue, super sweet and cute. But I can see now that basically he's a chick magnet. The puppy, not my boyfriend. Okay. Sounds familiar.
Yep.
I don't know to anyone. I don't know. Like, my boyfriend, he's a nerd. He's a gamer. He plays video games a lot, which I'm cool with. I mean, he jokingly refers to himself as an inside kid, not an outside kid. Got it. So we got this puppy, and all of a sudden, my boyfriend has turned into an outside kid.
Well, look at him.
Getting all that attention.
Yeah, exactly. There's a dog park near us, so he takes the dog there often. But then one day, my boyfriend was under the weather, and he wasn't, like, able to take Hank, that's our puppy's name, to the park. So I leashed up Hank and took him. The amount of hotties was mind-blowing. and the amount of hotties that came up to say hi to Hank was jaw-dropping. He's like Mr. Popular at the dog park, which means my boyfriend is Mr. Popular. It wasn't until, like, this one girl asked if I was Hank's dog walker that I realized, yeah, my boyfriend was proudly showing off Hank, but definitely keeping me a secret. So I don't have, like, feel like I have enough evidence to accuse him of anything yet, except for being, like, pathetic and cruising in the dog park for attention from women. Mm. But I want you guys to call, to do it to catch a cheater and see if you can slide into his DMs and get a response that he apparently has been getting and giving at the dog park.
All right. So let's establish again how long you guys been going out.
We've just 4 months.
4 months. Okay. But you have had the talk that this is exclusive.
Well,
we're only
yeah.
seeing each other, right?
We got a puppy together. Of course it's exclusive.
Yeah. Thank you. Exactly.
Okay.
It costs money to get a puppy.
it does.
It's a commitment.
So would it be out of bounds if a woman DM'd him, they exchanged Instagram, right? And she said, hey, just want to know if, what's the dog's name again?
Hank.
Hank. If Hank is going to be in the park on Saturday because my dog loves him so much. Is that considered cheating? Is that out of bounds? What do we got?
I think it depends on his response, right? Like,
it depends on what she looks like.
How hot is she? How hot are these hotties?
You talking about the dog or the owner?
The owner.
Okay.
Like, if he responds and he's like, oh, yeah, I would love to see you, or something flirty back, I feel like can be construed as cheating. But if it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, we're going to be out there tomorrow night, we'd love to see you, I feel like that's friendly, no?
I agree. I think it's all in his response. You can't really control the people coming up to you or coming up to you and the dog or having questions about the dog, but how you respond will say a lot about how much you respect your relationship.
I mean, it certainly is a way in. It's a clever way to try to get in. If he responds at all, is that considered shady?
No. He's just being friendly.
Really?
Yes.
It's shady. If he responds, it's shady.
I mean, it clearly is a sign like I'm into you and I'm only using my dog to get to your dog, which really means I'm trying to get to you.
Maybe he's just a really good dog dad and he wants Hank to have friends. We don't want Hank to be a loser, antisocial dog.
Look at you having a man's back. I love this.
Listen, this is...
Market.
Frame it. Timestamp it. Remember this day. This is the first and last time.
Brace yourself because I don't. Yeah, I'm putting myself in Nicole's shoes and, like, you know, Bart, we got three dogs, and so I'm trying to take us back to when we were dating, and if there was somebody in the neighborhood with another dog and she was a single woman and was asking him, like, when you're going to bring Willie Boone and Leroy to the park, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's not, it's not going to sit well with me. It's not going to sit well with me.
It's such a obvious I'm hitting on you, right?
Yeah.
All right, so Nicole, you wanted us to test him. We didn't do War of the Roses. We did our Instagram scam, and we reached out to him on social media on Instagram. So we will let you know in just a couple of minutes if we got any kind of response at all. And if we did, was it true?
Nicole, I just need you to break. A conversation was had. Are you okay?
Nope,
just speechless.
Oh, me?
Yes, your name is Nicole, right?
Sorry.
All right, so there was a conversation had. We're just going to find out if it went sideways or not in a couple of seconds, okay?
A conversation is already sideways, but go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, you'll find out next on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Everything was going just fine in their relationship until they got a puppy. And it wasn't the stress of the puppy. It's now all of a sudden, Nicole here is wondering if her man is being honest with her and not being shady online, because he's getting a lot more attention with that puppy these days. Kristen, you got a recap?
Nicole, you can recap it for us. So what's your man been doing at the dog park?
Well, basically, we got this adorable puppy, Hank, and basically, my boyfriend's been going to the dog park, and he's like Mr. Popular now. I don't know if it's the dog that's Mr. Popular or my boyfriend that's Mr. Popular, and that's what I want to find out, because before Hank, he was an indoor boyfriend, and now he's outdoor boyfriend. So I want to know what's going on in that dog park, because there's a lot of ladies there.
You're like, this is not what I signed up for. I signed up for a reclusive guy that doesn't like people. And now there you are getting your vitamin D. You're in the sun. This is not what I signed up for.
Yeah, so I guess the little red flags that have popped up for you is, one, the frequency and the repetition of going to the dog park. However, when you have a dog that finds an area that he or she likes, then that is an area that you're going to frequent whether there's hotties or not. So maybe that's a red flag. Maybe it's not. The fact that so many women knew who Hank was, maybe that's a red flag. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just a testament to how sweet your rescue is. The fact that one woman came up and asked if you were the dog walker and had no idea that you would be, you know, Hank's doggy mom. I think that was probably the biggest red flag of them all. So you don't have like hard evidence that he's doing anything wrong at the dog park, besides just going there frequently.
Right. I forgot to add that, the recap. Right. When I took Hank, I couldn't believe how popular Hank was with all these gorgeous women. I'm like, what are you?
It's a little like doggy pimp.
Yeah. Hank is weeding him out like a bouncer. You're in. No, not you. All right. So, Nicole, you wanted us to test him online, and that is exactly what we have done with our Instagram scam, just to see if he was DMing some women back that might approach him, you know, trying to use Hank to get in there.
Now, we all understand that this is entrapment. I'm not going to sugarcoat it anymore. It's entrapment. And we probably went one step further with the entrapment this time, with the lies we told out the gate. Just want to preface that. All right. So, Nicole, you gave me your boyfriend's Instagram account, his information. Thankfully, he's not private. He's public. So it was easy to slide into his DMs. So I had my friend slide into his DMs. And this is the conversation that transpired, because there was indeed a conversation.
Okay.
So my friend hit him up, slid in, said, "Hey, I think I've seen you at the dog park. Do you have that adorable puppy that looks like a beagle?" And it didn't take him long to respond. And he said, "I do. That's my new best buddy, Hank."
Aww.
Which is very cute.
Mm-hmm.
She responded, "So precious. I'm new to the area and I've only gone to that dog park a couple of times. I have a beagle mix too. Can you recommend a good vet in the area?"
Okay. So far, so good, right?
Yeah, I feel like this is pretty safe.
Mm-hmm. I was a little lukewarm on this. What's up?
I'm just waiting. I'm being patient.
Yeah. Okay. And he said,
"Women there."
Say again, Nicole?
I mean, I guess, but there are other women she could have asked. But anyway, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. But there's other women she can ask, but this is my friend. We're setting him up.
Yeah. She reached out to him, right?
Yes. Yeah. This is my friend. We're like, all of this is a lie. So he said, sure, we take Hank to insert vet name. So he shared the vet.
Okay, and, wait, real quickly. We take?
Sure, yes. He says, sure, we take Hank to blank, insert vet name. So far, we like them.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, two we's.
We.
And she responded, oh, you said we. I love that you and he are a we. And then he responded, sorry, by we, I meant me and my girlfriend.
Oh,
hey.
And she said, oh, my bad. And then he followed up with, but if you need any more recommendations, hit us up. Welcome to the neighborhood. And at that point, she was like, thanks. And my friend was done. So I had my friend slid in. They had that conversation. And Nicole, you take from that what you will, but he readily admitted that he has a girlfriend. He is not hiding you. I think you just have a very popular dog at the dog park, and that dog is not your boyfriend.
Oh, that's so, so sweet. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You got a we and an us in there, man.
You did. So
you're safe. You're 100% safe, Nicole.
He weed all over you.
Hey, yo.
Oh, my God.
That's after 8:30 behavior.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
The Bird Show.
All right, there has been a rebrand on, not on The Bird Show, but on the Youth Group podcast. Let us discuss, shall we? Who would like to take it from here?
Yeah, our podcast has been out no longer than 3 weeks, and we were like, we don't like the title. Let's rebrand. I think, so the Youth Group put out a podcast about a month ago, and we decided to call it Sunday School with the Bird Show Youth Group. It's kind of like a tongue-in-cheek kind of nod to the fact that we'd been calling ourselves the Youth Group because, you know, we're young and fun, and we're a group. So we thought it was kind of like a fun way to say, like, hey, this is sort of a spinoff show for the Bird Show, while also kind of nodding to our group name.
I will say this, that it was no more evident to both Kristen and I last night at our dinner how sequestered our two groups are now. You had the youth group on one side of our dinner last night. We had kind of a Friendsgiving last night, and there's all this energy and laughter and superficial convo going on one side, and then there's us old folks on the other side wondering, when can we go to sleep? That's what the youth group is.
Did you like, after we ordered desserts, I looked at you and I said, you want to go ahead and get the check as well? And you're like, it's already taken care of. And we're like, okay, bye. Well, I feel like with any group of friends, when you have like a really good conversation, like when you're out to dinner, you're out like drinking, I feel like in the year of our Lord 2024, everyone's just like, we should start a podcast. And because we have hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment in front of us, we thought, well, if anybody should start an actual podcast, it should be the Bird Show Youth Group. And so we started this podcast as kind of a way to like add more content to the Bird Show. And then I think as the longer we recorded and the more like the podcast became a reality, we were like, we feel like our original plan and idea and direction for the show isn't actually where we want to take it.
I think eventually we all sort of envisioned this thing being its own standalone show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there might have been a rebrand much later down the road of us sort of like, you know, becoming a little bit more independent from the Bird Show, the Big Show. Mm-hmm. But it just kind of happened sooner than we expected, where we were like, well, how about we just take the name off of our, you know, off of the actual name of the podcast, and we just, you know, commit to that right here and right now. You know, we're only a few weeks into this thing. A little bit of change is probably going to be expected. And we know that our content is going to be this ever evolving thing when it comes to the type of stories that we're talking about and everything like that. And so we decided that now is better time than ever to just go ahead and do it.
You say a little bit of change. You guys have completely changed the name. And also, I think there's one person that's not going to be participating, correct? Because I saw it like looking at the photos. Is there, like, there's a change in cast as well, right?
Katie is busy as it is within the moment and everything else that she does, you know, off air. And so we told her, I mean, and we had a big conversation about this, and she basically told us, like, whenever she's available, she's totally going to come in and participate and hang out, and she's more than welcome to. But that is just on an availability standpoint.
Katie, you want to talk to your, about yourself on this? Because then people are going to go, oh, she wouldn't even talk about it on the show.
The way Jax was like, so Katie basically said.
I'm turning around looking at Katie. I'm like, Katie, speak up.
Clear the air.
Basically, like you said, I'm busy. All right, okay, bye.
The name of the podcast has changed also. It's not the Burt Show Youth Group anymore. It is now what?
We have now changed the podcast name to Personality Hires, which to me is like a Gen Z joke that people say on the internet, where like when people in corporate environments kind of realize that maybe somebody was hired not for their hard skills, but for their ability to make people laugh in a conference room. That's why they're here. Uh-huh. And I kind of looked around. I was like, first of all, we're literally personality hires. But also, I think we really like the idea of so many people who work from home, they don't have a personality hire around to make the workday more bearable. So we thought, why not just hire us to be your personality hires?
All right, so I got a couple of thoughts on that. I would say, yes, for sure, you were hired for personality. It's just been a nice bonus with everybody else. I didn't know Jackson. I didn't know Rebecca, right? Amber, that like that. So I didn't know if there would be a chemistry. And the second part of this thing that I love so much is that Jackson and I were talking about this with, what's your name again?
Abby?
with Abby, weeks and weeks and weeks ago. And at some point, it became the Burt Show Youth Group podcast because people didn't know who they were yet. So they were tying themselves into the Burt Show. When a podcast is successful, you need to know the people involved first before you can kind of launch. So it started as an offshoot of the Burt Show. Now, that also has limitations because you have to stick with our brand also. If it's going to be the Burt Show here and it's going to be a Burt Show youth group, there have to be some similarities. It can't be so different where our listeners are like, what is that? So now that everybody knows you so much better and you guys can be more independent and more authentic, it takes pressure off of you guys that you don't have to do the same kind of things that we do on, quote unquote, the big show. I love that for you guys.
Thank you. I mean, we always sort of knew that, you know, it made sense for us to take advantage of the audience that the Burt Show has in order for us to sort of get our feet off the ground and get going with this thing. But again, like we've mentioned, this whole thing, we want it to be its own standalone thing. It gives us a little bit more creative freedom to do sort of the bits that we want to do and talk about the things that we want to talk. So it really just made sense in the end.
Yeah. So if you want to check us out, we are live. We post every Monday, every Monday morning. So if you want to have some personality hires around your workday, wherever your office is, you can check us out.
So what is it about?
It's about haha, laugh funny jokes and friends being friends.
Main podcast. Equipment more expensive.
The Burt Show.
If you are a fan of Atlanta sports, it was an emotional roller coaster this weekend. Now, this all happened over the weekend, but here we are the first day back on Tuesday, right? So let's go through some of these. I was lucky enough when I was choosing like a spontaneous weekend to go away, right? And this was it, this weekend. And I saw Atlanta United was playing in Miami, which is really Fort Lauderdale. So I'm like, you know what? Gives me an excuse to go. I'll just go watch Atlanta United on the road, right? So I fly into Fort Lauderdale for a solo trip for the weekend, and I went to the Atlanta United match on Saturday night. And now keep in mind, Atlanta United, as I've tried to explain to non-soccer fans, qualified for the playoffs on the very last day of the season. Like three other teams had to either tie or lose for them even to qualify for a play-in game to get into the playoffs. Nobody thought they would. They win that playoff game. So now they're in a series against the number one team in the league who has scored more goals than any other team ever in Major League Soccer, right? And Atlanta goes in there on Saturday night and they win. They beat Miami, right? And it was the best of all worlds for me because I got to see Messi score. This is the third time I've watched him. He scores and Atlanta United wins. It's a dream night for me.
All right, it was, and you would know better than I do, but that it's one of the biggest upsets in MLS history.
They're calling it exactly that. Yeah, like nobody had predicted that Atlanta United was going to win. And if you are a fan, I said this on social media, if it was socially acceptable, we should all kiss Brad Guzan right on the lips.
had quite a few saves.
The whole series. This dude thinks he's 22. He's like 40, 41, 87 years old, something.
Man, like it's his last season. He's leaving it all out there.
I don't know what's going on, yeah. Man. So congratulations to Atlanta United. Two of the most fantastic games I've watched are the last two Atlanta United games.
So what's next for Atlanta United?
They play Orlando.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure if it's this week or next week, but they have advanced to play Orlando. And look, they already beat the best team in the conference. There's no reason they can't beat Orlando in this series.
So you're saying there's a chance?
There is a chance.
Yeah, Orlando's one of our big rivals. So that's coming up on Sunday, November 24th at 3:30 p.m. And it's going to be the semifinals.
Oh, God, man, it's exciting now.
This is great.
All right, then again on an emotional roller coaster, if you're a Georgia Tech fan, you can't believe it. They beat Miami. Miami was undefeated this weekend. They come into Atlanta here, and Georgia Tech beats Miami. What happened?
Gives them their first loss of the season.
What?
Unbelievable. Who saw that coming?
Nobody.
No.
Those Miami players were pissed. I don't know how this ended up in my algorithm, but somebody on the field ran up to a Miami player and had his phone, and the Miami player took his cell phone and chucked it all the way down the field, and it's still recording, so it's doing a video. So you just see it go...
Wow.
And then it lands by some cheerleaders, and they pick it up, and they're like, oh, it's recording.
For Miami, it might have been the best pass of the entire morning. So congratulations to Georgia Tech. As much as I am a Georgia fan, I got to give you guys your props, man. That was a huge win. And then UGA, here we are talking about the ups and downs. UGA, I mean, they didn't just lose. They got manhandled by Ole Miss over the weekend. It was stupid.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming either, man. I don't know what's going on with UGA right now.
I was nervous because Ole Miss is really, really good this year.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just manhandled Georgia. So then you have Kennesaw State, who the last couple of seasons have been doing great. This year they've sucked. They fired their head coach this weekend, who's run this program in a really, really great way. But they were like 1-9 this year, so Kennesaw State. And then you have the Falcons going into New Orleans and losing to the Saints.
Yeah, that's a downer because the Falcons really been on a run the last few weeks. So, but they're having a good season still.
Weird, weird weekend when it came to football around Atlanta, right?
A lot going on.
All right, Kristen left for the weekend also, not to go watch a soccer match, but to have more fun, and had to go through the airport. And we kind of, we were ripping on the airport a couple
of weeks ago.
I wasn't. You weren't.
There was somebody else on the show that was ripping on Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, and I am here to defend my beloved Atlanta Airport, Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, the busiest airport in the world.
Yeah, it is.
And I got dropped off by my Lyft at the front. I use Lyft because I like to get my extra Delta Sky miles. The Lyft dropped me off at 11:15 a.m. on a Friday, which is a busy travel day, right? I walk in. I had already checked in, so I'm carrying, like, I'm doing a carry-on, so there's no, like, checked baggage or anything like that. Just going to keep all the facts factual. I walk through. I'm already checked in, got my app out. I got my ID out. I'm ready to go. I go through TSA. They pull my bag. I got pulled aside because my jewelry looked like a knife, apparently.
What kind of jewelry you wearing, man?
I have no idea. They put
a Swiss Army knife on a chain.
They pull my purse, and he goes, do you have a knife? And I'm like... No, he goes, do you have a knife? Like, he asked me twice, which made me think, I'm like, do I have a knife?
Yeah, when Kristen goes out of town.
Right, yeah, right? I know that feeling.
She goes out of town, she gets dangerous, man.
I'm like,
he's a different person.
Gaslighting me into thinking I got some kind
shank.
Of...
That's why I will get there so early, and just casually work my way through security, not having to stress about it, because you really don't know at any airport, especially in Atlanta. Like, there have been times where I've walked in there to security. Security, and I'm like, didn't they know this is like a Friday and that there were going to be a lot of people at the airport because there's not enough TSA agents? But for the most part, I got no problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
Same with me. I probably would say 90% of the time I've been in Hartsfield, it's been easy breezy. Like the 10% is rough, but it's very rough. But the 90% of the time, is I'm like, no problems to get to the gate.
Good morning, Burt Show Q9.
Good morning.
Who is this?
This is Amanda Elgin from Cummings.
How are you this morning?
I am ecstatic, and I don't win anything. I've been a listener since 2010 when I moved up from Florida. I'm a single mom, but my sister actually called me. She works at a children's dentistry out in Cummings.
Yeah.
Smile Pop Children's Dentistry, and her friend Shell Bell heard it on the air, called my sister, who called me, who was getting my six-year-old in the car to go to school. And trying to buckle her in, and I'm so excited. You have no idea.
This is great. The good news is you won $1,000 because so many people helped you. You have to split that money between everybody. So you're really only getting $300.
I think they'll be happy with, you could just hook them up with a drink.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're going to be ecstatic. I'm a single mom, and this means the world to me. Will change our lives for the holidays.
Oh, I love it.
That's amazing. Awesome.
That's what we were hoping to get winners like this. So if you don't know what she's talking about, on Tuesdays and Thursdays now, we're hooking you guys up with $1,000, like 5, 6, 7 times a day. So all you got to do is go to the website, which you did. You signed up real quick, right?
Mm-hmm. It didn't take me long, and I was like, I'm not going to win. I do this every year, and I didn't think I would. And I'm shaking. My six-year-old is in the back seat, so excited. We're on the way to school. She's like beaming.
Yeah, and she has no concept of what $1,000 is, so tell her you just won the lottery. So she signed up, told us what hour she was going to be listening, which is this hour, the 7 o'clock hour. We called her name. She called us back. She won $1,000. Congratulations.
It's awesome. I'm so excited. I've been, like I said, a P1 since 2010. I usually listen on the podcast, but this is the hour that we go to school. So I just put it for this hour and thought, you know what? It's worth a try.
I love it.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You can choose what hour you want us to call your name. That way you know you're going to hear it while you're listening. So, hey, do us a favor, too. Also, tell Shell Bell and your sister thanks for listening.
I will absolutely do that. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening all these years. We really, really appreciate it. Okay, so for those of you that aren't Amanda Elgin of Cumming, we have another shot at this again at 11, 1, 3, and 5 o'clock today on Q99.7. So you just got to go and spend 60 seconds filling this thing out, this form out, and then listen for your name. That's it. Go to Q99.7Atlanta.com. It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
We have seen this time and time again that people will sacrifice their health for perhaps, in a lot of cases, the vanity of losing weight, no matter if it's healthy or not. It was Ephedrine back in the day? Everybody was taking like right and left, and we didn't even know if it was good for us or not, but dang, everybody looked good, so let's take that.
Yeah, when I was in college, it was Hydroxycut.
That's the one I was trying to think of. That's right.
Hydroxycut was the one everybody was taking when I was in college, and it's what we would take like right before spring breaks and stuff.
You know, and I'm online quite a bit, and you guys know my lifestyle, right? I get in these algorithms of biohackers and people that think they're doctors, so I don't even know what to believe or not anymore. I've got a ton of friends, including people that are in here, that have been talking about their use of Ozempic or an Ozempic-like medicine to try to lose weight. And frankly, it scares me because I don't know what to believe about it anymore. You know, one day I'll read one thing and it says, look, it's burning muscle more than it's burning fat, so you have to go to the gym. Then there are other things I'm reading that you can't be on it your whole life. Then there are other things saying you can be on it your whole life. So rather than have the questions and listen to the amateur doctors online, as I said before, let's just call the smartest person in the world. And that is Sanjay Gupta. Good morning, Sanjay. How are you, man?
I love coming on your show just for that introduction.
Well, good, because we're...
How you doing?
Well, we're actually out of time. It was the introduction, and now we're out of time. Right. I've been great, man. How are you, Ben?
I'm doing well. I miss you guys. It's been, I think, over a year since I've spoken to you. Gotta do a house call. Check in on you.
Yeah, well, you're much busier than we are. I'll be honest with you. You know, the whole brain surgery thing, you know. So thanks for responding to my text. The timing of this couldn't be perfect. I didn't know you had a special coming out, which, by the way, is coming out on Sunday. When I hit you a couple of weeks ago, or you hit me, actually, talking about our kids, and then I hit you up about this Ozempic thing. You had already had this thing in the works, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been working on this for over a year, and sort of inspired by some of the same questions you were just tossing around. You know, this is a class of drugs that has become the biggest class of drugs really in the developed world, and it, you know, seemingly came out of nowhere. So just started to investigate and dig deep.
Now, I know Ozempic is like the default word to use, but what is the technical term of what we're talking about here?
The technical term is GLP-1, which is a peptide. It's glucagon-like peptide, and it's the active ingredient in really all of these drugs, Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, Zepbound. A couple of them have other peptides as well, but GLP is sort of the technical term.
All right, so how do we define if these are healthy for you or not? I think I said as the outset, you know, you tell somebody they're going to lose weight quickly, they don't even care what's in it. So I know it's a complicated answer, but is it healthy? Is it not healthy? Who should be on it? Who should not be on it?
I think the first thing I'd say is that it's a medicine, right? So I think when you think of medicines, you think of medicines being used to treat something. So if somebody doesn't have anything to treat, they shouldn't be taking a medicine. And so I think there's a lot of people, I think this is the point you're making, that are probably taking it that don't need it. And this is like any other medicine. Like, why would you take a statin drug, for example, if you didn't need to take that? Why would you take an antibiotic if you didn't need it? Same sort of thing here, I think. I think the counterbalance to this is that 40% of our nation is obese, which is a remarkable thing. I mean, actually classified as having obesity. For those people, you know, this can be, I think, helpful for them at a time when nothing else has really seemed to work often. So I think it really depends on who it is in terms of the patient, in terms of whether it's healthy or not.
So it wasn't originally designed for people with obesity, though, correct?
Yeah, this is a fascinating backstory. I'll just tell you quickly because I'm so fascinated by it. But I traveled to Copenhagen because the scientist that discovered this hormone, which, by the way, was back in the 70s, they were actually looking for a treatment for peptic ulcer disease, ulcers. That's what they were trying to find at that time. And keep in mind, the 70s, no one was really just searching for these new therapies for diabetes or obesity. Obesity wasn't as big a problem. If you were a diabetic, you took insulin. The idea of searching for something else to try and treat those things, that wasn't a big thing back then. When they found this drug, these original peptides did not work for ulcers, they did notice in the group of people who took it that their blood sugars came way down. And then they ultimately also found, and this is over decades, that their weight came down as well. So it was really these serendipitous discoveries that got you from that original peptide back in the 70s, fast forward several decades, to what we see now.
Huh. Well, back in the 70s, people were looking for any kind of drug.
but I would just say that obesity wasn't as big a problem.
Yeah, right.
Like, I mean, look, seriously, you think about it, 40% of the nation is obese. When I started doing this work as a medical journalist, it was under 10%, and that was just, you know, 20 years ago. So backtrack 50 years ago, there was certainly obesity out there, but now we're getting to the point where it's starting to border on the majority of people.
That's crazy.
So, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, I feel like human nature, sometimes we like to put Band-Aids on, like, gaping holes, and instead we try to, like, cure a symptom rather than really get to, like, the issue. So, and I feel like with the semaglutides and Ozempic, Mounjaro, Wegovy, that we're doing this instead of really getting to, like, the core issue of why we have an obesity epidemic in our country.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, there's no question. And again, it gets back at that same point that, you know, 40, 50 years ago, there was no epidemic. Human beings genetically didn't change so much over a few decades that we're now just more likely to be obese than not. It's I think more than anything else, it's our food supply that is really doing this to us. Mm-hmm. And typically, you know, the food supply in the United States is particularly bad. I mean, even compared to other developed countries, there's a lot of ingredients in there that really make it hard for you to lose weight. There's a lot of things like hydrogenated corn syrup, things like that, that are in foods that aren't even sweet. They're just there to add moisture to food, or they're there to add shelf life to food. And those things can also set you up for obesity. Now, so I think the food is largely to blame. I mean, I think 70% of chronic disease in this country is preventable, and the vast majority of that prevention is probably in the way that we nourish ourselves, even more than exercise, which is important, but it's really the food supply. But Kristen, I don't know, was that you that asked the question?
Yes, sir.
The one thing I will add, and this is a learning for me at working on this documentary, is that for some people who have obesity, And I think a significant percentage, they have a different thermostat in their bodies. Their thermostat is set higher, so they're eating more food, for example, before they feel full. And they often have a thing called food chatter going on, which was amazing and interesting for me to hear firsthand stories. There are people who they're just constantly thinking about food. As soon as they finished eating, they're already thinking about food. And this is a significant percentage of people. What is amazing to me about these GLP drugs is the way that they work. One of the mechanisms is to sort of quiet that food chatter. It is to target these areas in the brain that are called the satiation centers, the things that make you feel full, and activate those areas. So people feel full after they eat, like you should normally. But I really, you know, I think for a certain percentage of people, obesity really is not a choice. They really do eat well. They exercise. But they just have this food chatter and this thermostat that's set high. And it's almost more like addiction or depression in some ways in terms of the brain impact of obesity versus a disease of the intestine, for example.
Are we talking about a large percentage of people that are on the drugs have that kind of chatter and that kind of disease we're talking about, or is it something else?
I think it's a really good question, Burton. I don't think we know. I mean, I think some of this research is coming out now. I think you sort of asked the same thing about things like addiction. Addiction is a brain disease for a lot of people. There are some people who just abuse drugs. You know, it's not because they get these huge surges of dopamine in their brain or anything. So I don't know the percentage, but I will tell you where one clue is coming from. About more than half the people, 56%, according to the most recent study, 56% of people who take these drugs, these new GLP drugs, end up stopping them within 12 weeks.
For what reason?
Okay.
The symptoms, side effects are gnarly.
What reason? Yeah, no. Well, some of it is the side effects. Although, to be fair, most people have side effects that are the most significant when they first start taking these drugs. And then by the 2 or 3 month mark, if anything, the side effects tend to diminish a little bit in the majority of people. For some people, it's cost, because these are really expensive drugs. And, you know, depending on how your insurance works, I mean, $1,600 a month for some people that they're paying for these drugs. That's the high end. But the other thing is this point, Bert, that we're sort of revolving around, which is this idea that for some people, it just doesn't work as well. Or they develop sort of a tolerance to it. So maybe it worked initially, but then it really starts to diminish. And I think those are people who probably don't have the sort of same brain chatter that other people have. The people who have the chatter, I think this is a drug that seems to work, continue working, and really helps them lose weight. For other people, and again, the majority, 56%, they just sort of stop within 12 weeks. For a variety of reasons, but part of it might be that they were just never great candidates for this in the first place.
Does it worry you that it's become so mainstream? Because I was just on a girls' trip, and of the four of us, two are currently taking the weight loss shot, and the third is about to get on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really concerning. I mean, again, the underlying problem is very concerning. I don't know if any of these folks technically qualify. I mean, there are qualifications for the drug in terms of what is deemed medically necessary. One is a BMI, body mass index, of 30, and the other one is a body mass index of 27 with some other underlying condition, high blood pressure, diabetes, something else. If you don't fall into that category, then again, you're taking a medication that is not necessary. So that concerns me. One thing that often comes up is, what are the long-term side effects here? It's such a new drug. What do we really know? Again, a really good question, and we're going to learn a lot more. But this drug has been around for over 20 years. And while we heard about it a lot in 2021, 2022 in the United States, there are places around the world where people were taking GLP drugs since the early 2000s. So we do have some long-term data on people who take these drugs, took them for medically necessary reasons. And the long-term data, I think, is a bit reassuring in that we don't see anything that is, significant concern even after a couple of decades of use. People did lower their cholesterol. A lot of times they were able to improve their blood sugars. So they had a lot of health benefits, again, in people who had it prescribed for a legitimate medical reason. Mm-hmm. So that was a little bit reassuring, at least in terms of the long-term concerns.
I'm curious as to what the research says about the sustainability of weight loss with Ozempic, and especially for people who may not have diabetes.
Like, are you talking about, like, once you get off of it?
Right.
Yeah. If you get off of it, what they're finding is that you do regain the weight, but not everybody regains the weight, and they don't regain all the weight. So what they found, for example, at about 14 weeks after coming off the drug, people oftentimes regain somewhere between a half to two-thirds of their previous weight. What seemed to make the big difference was the people who got on these medications and subsequently really started to add in better lifestyle. So it was not just a new med, it was sort of a burst of motivation as well for a new lifestyle. And for those people who were able to maintain that and actually use this drug to improve their diet, started exercising, all of those things, they were obviously the ones most likely to keep the weight off. And it was, you know, not an insignificant percentage. So again, more than half stop within 12 weeks. If you look at that very large percentage of people who don't stay on these drugs, the majority do gain some weight back, but not everybody.
Sanjay Gupta from CNN joining us.
You know, Dr. Gupta, I really do appreciate hearing you talk about obesity and how there are other factors that come into weight loss, like the food supply and people having a different thermostat. Yeah. Myself experienced this food chatter, and I am medically obese, but I'm not on any semaglutides. But one thing that does frustrate me is that when there is a product to help those who are facing these barriers lose weight and it becomes mainstream, it's kind of seen as cheating. And I'd love to know your thoughts on if you are prescribed by a doctor and you fall into the category of, you know, medical necessity, is taking something like a semaglutide cheating, or is it actually a tool that can help lead you to a healthier lifestyle?
No, it's not cheating if you're taking a medicine for legitimate reasons. I mean, it's unfortunate that, you know, people think of it that way, just like they used to think about depression, by the way, just like they used to think about addiction, by the way. Do people look at people with depression now and say you're cheating if you take an antidepressant? They did at one time in our history. But I think one of the unexpected learnings, I think, from these medications is just how much of a brain disease obesity can be. And I say can be because I think, you know, it is not everybody's the same. There are some people who probably could just stop eating and get control of their lifestyle on their own. They don't need a medication. But if you are at the point where it's, you know, you have those medically inclusive criteria that I mentioned, you know, BMI of 30, or you're dealing with another coexisting condition, that's a real problem. I think what they have found with these semaglutides is that you can increase the likelihood that you will lower your cholesterol, that you'll improve some of those other medically important risk factors at the same time that you're losing weight. And that's really important. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is, again, we spend $4.5 trillion on healthcare in this country. 70% of chronic disease is preventable, and a lot of it revolves around the issues that we're talking about right now. So this is not just some, you know, sort of sideshow. This is trillions of dollars that go into our healthcare budget that revolve around this topic.
You know, I want to follow up on what Cassie was saying right there, and I just need some info. Because we had somebody on staff that went in and a doctor prescribed Ozempic for her and told her she was pre-diabetic, which is a term I had never heard of before, and then prescribed the Ozempic. So do doctors get paid a certain percentage when they prescribe the Ozempic if the patient needs it or not?
I don't think so. I have not heard that. I don't prescribe Ozempic, but I don't think there's strict regulations against kickbacks and things like that around this, but this sounds like a fishy story right out of the gate. I'm not sure what pre-diabetic.
That's what I told her too.
I mean, there's pretty strict criteria on what qualifies for people to take this. Now, I mean, I will say it's a little bit of a loose target in terms of who qualifies, only because BMI, body mass index, is in and of itself a pretty loose target. It's basically your weight divided by your height squared. And it's a really old measurement, you know, 200 years old measurement that was originally designed to figure out what is normal sort of body shape and size for people in Europe. And then over 200 years, it's still being used now to see whether people qualify. I mean, there's people who are super muscular, for example, that may be classified as obese because of, you know, their BMI. So it's a bit of a loose target, but I mean, doctors are prescribing these medications off label. There's no question about it. And it's been a little bit loose, I think, in terms of what, you know, how people qualify. But I think, you know, right now you probably got about 40% of the population, according to some studies that are taking this medication, that don't necessarily qualify for it.
Hey, Dr. Gupta. So I actually have a question about the off-brand Ozempics and Wegovys of the world, because there is such a narrow criteria to get on the drug. And I know some people that are on it specifically for weight loss that are going to like your local med spa down the street who are getting on like a semaglutide or a tirzepatide. Should there be any fear around the off-label usage of these drugs? Are they regulated? Should people be more cautious than they should be with something that might be more more regulated, like an Ozempic?
Yeah, this is a really tricky sort of question. You know, so first of all, there's these compounding pharmacies, and what happens is compounding pharmacies are allowed to take the active ingredient in these drugs and basically compound it or make it themselves in their pharmacy only when the drug is in shortage. So when the drug is in shortage, these compounding pharmacies can sort of fill those gaps. The ingredients that go to the pharmacy, you know, the active ingredients, those are FDA-approved ingredients. So they come from a facility that FDA approved it, good manufacturing practices. But then when it gets to the compounding facility, they're making it. They're diluting it. They're mixing it. They're putting it in the vials. They're presenting it with a syringe. There's not one of the pens that you can take with it. You have to draw up the medication yourself and inject it. And that part of the system is not regulated. And so there's not safety or efficacy sort of standards there, meaning, again, it's an FDA-approved ingredient, but the process by which it was made is not necessarily regulated in a compounding pharmacy. And there's also not efficacy. So you don't really know how well those versions work compared to the other medication. Now, having said all that, there are some good compounding pharmacies out there. And I think one of the ways to know is that there is an accreditation. So if you are getting your medication from one of these pharmacies, that's, again, not the brand name medication, but one of these compounded drugs, check out the pharmacy ahead of time. See if it's an accredited pharmacy. If a doctor's prescribing, a doctor should be prescribing this. This should not come from an online prescription. Compounding pharmacies that take online prescriptions are usually not accredited. So, you know, there's all these little ways that you can improve the odds in your favor. But I realize that it's hard to get. I realize that it's expensive. And there are some of these pharmacies that are legitimate, but you just got to do your homework.
So you say if you can Amazon Prime it, it's probably too good to be true.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, that again, that's the thing that sort of made, this is an injectable drug.
Yeah.
You're injecting this into your body. I mean, you're taking this substance from your outside world and injecting it into your inside world. And you're going to buy it off Amazon Prime? I mean, you're not going to get it from a doctor or a pharmacy? It's amazing.
Right.
You got to take this seriously.
Yeah,
I take it seriously because this is a big deal overall in the world of medicine. But I do worry that it's getting a little tainted by all these sideshows.
I love that analogy that I heard a while back, that if you were told you had one car your entire life, you'd be sure to be putting the best gas in it. You'd get the tires rotated when you're supposed to, because you only have one car. But people don't look at their bodies that way. And that's exactly what we're doing with this drug. When you go to these different places, you have no idea what you're putting in your body. And it's a very, very scary time. But I understand the vanity of it also, you know. You can watch Sanjay. You know, there's only so much that we can do on the radio in this amount of time. But he's got a special coming on Sunday at 8 o'clock on CNN. It's called Dr. Sanjay Gupta Reports. Is Ozempic right for you? And I'm sure it's much like the conversation we had just now, yes?
Yeah, I think we got at a lot of it. But I think the story and the fascination with how this came about is really interesting. And also, that's what people want to know in the end, right? Is it right for them? And I think we really get at that question.
Sanjay, you're still good at this. You're not bad, man.
Man, what a pleasure. Good to check in with you guys. Good for the mental health.
Well, time. We always love having you on, and I promise if you want to dumb it down a little bit, just stick around for a couple of minutes, all right? You'll get it here, okay?
Love you guys.
Thank you, Sanjay. Love you too, man. Dr. Sanjay Gupta from CNN joining The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.